This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Mike Hartz. Mike is the CEO of the Hartz Group, Hartz Search. We're going to talk to Mike about business today, what he sees going on, what's going on in the world of search and sort of people moving and not moving. Are they moving? Are they not? And more. Mike, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Mike Hartz. I'm the CEO of Hartz Search and Treetop Talent Advisors. We are a retained executive search firm. We also do interim leadership and talent consulting for hospitals, health systems, and higher education clients around the country.
And take a moment and tell us how you got into this business, how you started doing this.
I got into this business about 18 years ago. I had just recently sold a restaurant and bar in a college town, and I was looking to get into a business that would keep me from behind a desk. And I was introduced to an individual that had a search firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, and she gave me an opportunity to kind of start at the bottom, and I just worked my way up from, you know, a sourcing lead to taking over physician recruitment and running the director-level searches, and then eventually I was the president of all the executive and interim business for another small firm. And then about 3.5 years ago, I started my own firm, Hartz Search, and it's just been a lot of fun since.
But you know, fascinating. Before we talk to you more about Hartz Search, somebody once said to me that it's every man's dream to at some point in his life own a bar. And then other people told me, well, if that's your dream, it's a dumb dream. Tell me, running and owning a bar and restaurant, a debacle, a challenge, fine. Give us a sense of that.
You know, at 21 years of age, it was probably the most exciting and fun thing I could have done for work. In a five-year period, I was ready to go, and it was a debacle and just time to leave. College town bars are a little bit different. You know, everyone's, you know, kind of staying the same age and you're getting older and older. So it was getting a little bit awkward for me and I was ready to go. It was perfect timing for me to get out of the business.
Fascinating. And tell us a little bit about your current business. And you've built this business really over the last several years. Talk about the current business and maybe a few points of pride in the business. Then I'm going to start asking you for advice for leaders and more.
Sure. So our business is, you know, we consider ourselves a boutique, you know, retained executive search firm, and we also do interim leadership placements all over the country for small rural hospitals all the way up to really large academic, tertiary, quaternary care, and then even national health systems. Our business focuses on director level and above positions, and we like to call ourselves a concierge service firm. We really focus on, you know, our service and our transparency for our clients and candidates as we go through this process. Our points of pride, I think, you know, mainly it's in the 3.5 years, just the incredible growth that we've experienced. In a short period of time, you know, we've just seen tremendous increase in revenue and scope and client base. We've opened an office in Charlotte, Dallas, and San Diego, California in that time period, and that's been very exciting for us. I think the other point of pride for us is our commitment to diversity and inclusion in healthcare. Every search that we have done in our 3.5 year period of time in Hartz Search, we've included a diversity candidate in the final slate, and about half of our searches have been filled by diversity leaders as well. And for us, that's just a huge point of pride. It's something we heard for years is needed in the industry, and it's just something that we wanted to be a part of. And so it's one of our guiding principles as a firm. And I think, you know, the last thing that we're probably really prideful is just how fast and timely we respond to candidates. We understand that it is a stressful time in their career looking for a role, even if they're, you know, transitioning to something new or wanting something. And we want to remove that stress from them and get back to them within a 24-hour period, and we've been able to do that with everybody that applies for a job for us. And for us, we really pride ourselves on our ability to build the relationships with clients and candidates at the same level, dignity and respect for everybody.
And talk for a moment about the search business at this moment in the COVID period. Are people moving jobs? Are they willing to move jobs? Are they scared to move jobs? Give us a sense of what you're seeing.
We've been really lucky during the COVID pandemic to where our business has actually picked up, and we haven't had any of the hurdles of people not wanting to move or our clients not wanting to move forward. Most of our clients, I think, have recognized that at one point or another, they're going to have to fill these positions. They're mission critical, and they don't want to be behind on strategy when things do turn around. Candidates have been very eager to find the right opportunity, even if they were part of a reduction in force or, you know, just looking for the next opportunity. Now, how we go about our search has changed a lot, obviously, with doing the Zooms and the virtual presence. But even then, we've picked up most recently with, you know, still traveling and seeing some of our candidates in person, as well as our clients. We've not run into some of the challenges I think other firms and some of the systems have run into of people not wanting to move. Where we've seen that downturn hit has been the interim business, to be honest with you.
And what about searches for rural hospitals? Is it harder or easier to fill those today? Any sense of that?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's a little bit easier right now to fill rural searches because people are wanting, in my opinion, to kind of get out of the hustle and bustle of an urban environment. And they feel a little bit safer in some of those rural locations. I think as we're starting to see in the marketplace, you know, the pandemic is starting to spread to the rural a little bit later than it did in the urban. And so some of that, you know, might not be, you know, exactly what they were looking for. But it has not been as hard in the past to find candidates that want to go to those rural locations that say, hey, it's not offering me anything. Now I think we're finding that people can see that there's more space for them. They can be out and about. They're not always on a mask. So there's a little bit more comfort around that, but it's still not as easy as finding someone to go to, you know, say a Dallas, Texas, or, you know, an Atlanta, Georgia, that offers, you know, culture and a good airport to travel.
We've moved to a spot where every company, every firm, every health system knows that they better have a good mix of diverse and non-diverse candidates. Talk about that for a moment and what that means for the hiring process.
Yeah, you know, for us, you know, diversity is so important in having a balanced workforce. And we're hearing that more and more from our clients as well, is that, you know, we need to match the communities that we serve. And communities all over the country are pretty diverse. And so that's been a big focus of us since we started Heart Search. And we hear it every day from our clients. We got to make sure that we're, you know, focusing and including more diversity into, you know, our workforce. And I think it really goes back to that, you know, making sure that you have your workforce that matches the community. And I think it builds more trust in the community. It allows them to understand that, you know, we hear you, we see you, and we want you to be a part of our workforce, but also we want you to feel comfortable and have that trust. And in some, you know, groups of people, I think, you know, they need to see faces just like them to build some of that trust. And I think it's important for health systems, and I think my clients have started to recognize that there's a need to have, you know, diversity at all levels, not just, you know, at frontline staffing or management, but also at the C-suite level as well.
And let me ask you another question. So I'm a candidate interviewing for a job, and do I then have to act like an executive interviewing for that job, or do I just act like myself? How do you coach people on how they behave during the interview process?
We coach them to be like themselves. We coach them to be prepared, you know, have an understanding of what's going to be asked of you and, you know, show up as the best version of you. But it's always best to be yourself in the sense that at the end of the day, that's who the client's going to get. And so, you know, trying to be one thing or another doesn't always land quite well when they see you in person. And so over the phone or over a virtual, you know, interview process, we coach them to be themselves. Because that's where the comfort is going to come from. That's where their confidence would come from through the process as well.
So I'm interviewing today. Do I want to talk to the people I'm interviewing with about whether I'm a big President Biden or President Trump fan, or do I want to keep that out of the discussion?
We prefer that the politics stay out of the discussion for any interviews.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably good advice, right? It's like the old adage, to stay away from those types of topics, and especially when they're as inflammatory as they are today. Talk to me for a moment. Mike, you're sort of a world-class connector, which in your business is critical because the whole business is connecting great people with great firms, great health systems, great higher education institutions that need people. Is this connectivity skill of yours, sort of, and you're very natural at it, and I've seen over the last several months, is that something that is innate and naturally born, or can you train people that work with you to sort of diligently become great connectors?
I think it is something that is innate, but at the same time, I do believe it's something you can train and really coach people to understand the value. And I think if they understand the value of being a great connector, then it becomes easier to understand the need and the desire to make connections with people. When we coach them, we always coach them to first seek out connections that have meaningful connection to you. You know, how do you find that common bond so that you're a little bit more comfortable in having that discussion? And I think that's an important part of gaining the confidence to want to connect more and network and, you know, be that large connector for more people in this business. And it comes with comfort. For me, it's something I've always been natural with. It's, you know, I've never known a stranger in my life. But I also, as I got into the healthcare space, it was harder for me to connect with professionals in this environment because I didn't know anything. And that was intimidating. And so I was lucky enough to tie myself to some really great mentors and pick their brain and ask them questions and, you know, really suggest or have them suggest to me what's the best way for me to connect to people that are kind of out of my circle. And I absorbed all of that, and I wanted to be the very best at what I do. And so for me, I practiced it. And anytime I could get into, you know, a young leaders group in a market or a young chamber group, I wanted to be in front of them as much as possible so that I could practice my connecting skills. So that when I was then doing business development or I was at a trade show such as, you know, a Becker's conference or an ACHE, you really have more comfort and confidence when you go to connect and do that person-to-person meeting and face-to-face connection.
Mike, finally, one more question. Any advice that you would give to emerging leaders? Any one or two pieces of advice you'd give to an emerging leader?
Yeah, first I would say find a mentor that aligns with you. And the second thing I would is to be patient in finding the right opportunity. I think that right now a lot of individuals in healthcare or even emerging leaders anywhere, they get their education and they want to make that big money. And they take a leap for a job. And it may not be the right job for them. And so it's, I think the biggest thing is to be patient and make sure that you find a role that aligns with you personally and find a role that allows you to grow and to learn. Climbing the ladder super quick is only helpful if you've gained some knowledge and expertise along that path to help you and to help the organization you're with. And if you just climb to climb, I think sometimes you miss those pieces.
Mike, finally, I take it at this point in life, you are never returning to the bar business.
I would never go back, no.
Thank you. Mike, I want to thank you for joining the Scott Becker Business Podcast today. You were just terrific, and I wish you continued great success with Hearts Search. Just magnificent. Thank you very much for joining us.
Scott, thanks for having me, and have a great rest of the week. Take care.